Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being patient and waiting for us. We are ready to go. A One World, One Blood Bowl number 26 is live. I'm thrilled to be joined by three completely new guests on the show this evening. Three people I've been dying to get on for ages, and it's a thrill to have all three of them here. And, of course, by the sad old face of Rick Reckless, who has somehow dragged himself away from his brand new baby and decided that Blood Bowl 3 and talking about how he's enjoying it is even more important than being a young dad. Huge congratulations from the whole Blood Bowl community, Rick. Thrilled to have you here. Hello, Rick.
Thanks, BC. Yeah, I'm here for a rest, just to be clear. thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
So, Rick, we all know Blood Bowl Jesus, one of the most popular streamers of Blood Bowl 2. If you remember back during the beta phase, very concerned that perhaps Blood Bowl 3 might mean his life changed once again. Well, his life has changed. He's had a second child, but Blood Bowl 3 has been released, and I've seen him playing it with a smile on his face. So I do plan to ask him about that. Let's start just with that open question, Rick. How are you finding Blood Bowl 3?
Yeah, well, it couldn't be more of a mixture and more of a paradox in my head, because there's loads of stuff that I'd like changed and to see, but there's loads of stuff I'm really enjoying. I'm having a great time with it. We'll have to get into the details more later, but you already touched on it. The big thing for me from all the betas was I was unable to play it without a ton of motion sickness. And that was my big thing I wanted them to get rid of. And I feel like for my level of what was going on, they've managed that. I know some people have said they're still having some problems.
Yeah.
Maybe they can make some changes in the settings, of which there are a lot more options now. But I'm actually able to play the game, and I've been having fun with it. So, yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah, I was having a terrible time with the beta as well. I'm not great with motion sickness, anything. And it's been really good. Not had any issues at all myself. For people who are still a little sensitive on it, motion blur is controlled with the post-processing. That's the one to go and change if you want to make it stop doing motion blur.
Fantastic. Now, to the other side, we haven't said hello yet. He's yet to be on this show, so I'm thrilled to have him with us. The other side of me on your screens is a Canadian beer moth of streaming. Mr. Page, welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl. Lovely to have you on.
Hey, Purple Jess. Thanks for having me.
I think it's fair to say that I've been on your stream, I mean, a lot. I'm a huge fan. As you know, my son is considers you the greatest of the Blood Bowl streamers, which, you know, thanks, son. That's brilliant, isn't it? He knows I stream. His friends know I stream. And all he talks about is your icons and all the little coins bouncing around at your page. He likes that. He finds it loads of fun. Big fan. You have been very smiley about Blood Bowl 3, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I've been having a great time. I think my initial reaction, I had a press copy early, and I played before I could stream it. And I went up and told Mrs. Page, this is bad. Like, I did not have any fun playing against the AI. But the good news was, like, even though it felt like pushing through mud, like, you have to double-click, where in Bowl 2 you had to single-click, like, declaring blitzes, it just felt really foreign and ugly for the first, like, 10 minutes there. But that went away after one game. Like, I quickly readjusted and pushed through that, like, just trying to communicate with Blood Bowl 3. And I've been having a blast the whole time on the stream. I've been doing 12-hour days for 2 weeks now, and wow. Genuinely having a ton of fun with it.
Now, they have said that...
Are you on the space bar, or are you... Sorry. Okay. Are you on the space bar, or are you triple-clicking everything?
I don't touch the space bar.
I think that's a big right now. Oh, you're triple-clicking. Oh, boy.
Right, I don't triple-click either. Now.
I mean, I have...
No, I don't even know what I'm doing. That's what I meant about, like, the muddiness.
Right. It's
like,
become part of you already.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, I have talked about
the intuition breaking, I think, is probably where a lot of the hate comes from, because you get that first experience and it's just like a human thing. You think you know how to do something and then it's going in completely wrong and it just makes you feel awful.
The shape of something familiar, but it isn't that thing.
But I have to say, I've played Blood Bowl 1, Blood Bowl 2, Blood Bowl 3, Tabletop, and Fumble, which has had at least three different user interface iterations in my lifetime. I find this the least intuitive. Is that not a fair comment? I mean, or is it something we can get used to? They famously said, you'll get used to it. Are we going to get used to it?
There's definitely a mixture. There is a large degree of, we played years of Blood Bowl 2 that was so ingrained in us, we were always going to have an adjustment period. And I don't think it's as bad as we first thought in that regard. and we're all enjoying it now. We're playing it. We're kind of used to it, but I do think it's still slightly the worst. There's still that one extra click on everything you do, like Space says. Even if you don't realize you're doing it now, there's a click to select the action, and then instead of clicking to do it, you've got to then double-click to do it or press the Space bar. I think scrolling the camera is slightly harder unless you're using WASD. And the big one for me that I'll just shout out this once because it's a little bit niche is that it's still, for me, unplayable on controller on PC. I've heard that it's a bit better on console, but it's I need to bug report on the controller and see if we can get that cleared up. So I'm currently on mouse and keyboard, which I can't keep up long term, unfortunately.
Yeah, but your RSI, I imagine, limits that as an option, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're still having some issues there. Mr. Page, I mean, you're loving it, you're smiling about it, you're sounding very upbeat. Do you accept that that user interface could still be tweaked better, or do you think it's me just being an old man and not adjusting?
No, like I said, it's muddy, and it actually reminds me that preview day, I went and used my video editing software again. And video editing software is an expert system. That's like the term they use in software development. And that means it's really hard to learn. But when you do it as your job, like doing a jump cut with a sound fade or whatever, you don't need to intuitively know how to do that, but you need to be able to do it really quick because you're doing it all the time. And Blood Bowl 3 feels like an expert system, which is not what you want of a video game. You want it to be intuitive and usable right away. Mm. And they definitely dropped the ball on that. But, you know, 200 hours in now, I'm an expert at Blood Bowl 3, and I can communicate with it reasonably well. I only screw up handing the ball off to the guy in the end zone once a stream.
Now, they have said that readability, and I imagine with that is going to come some of that muddiness maybe being lost, hopefully. I mean, I think there's two sides to the UI. There's what it's telling me, and then there's me interacting with it. Personally, I feel the me interacting with it bit is still quite muddy. I don't feel as in control as I want it to. But the amount of information coming towards me also needs to pick up, doesn't it? Or are we happy with what we're seeing? Are we feeling we've got all the information we need?
There's definitely...
Kind of with that... Sorry, because this is a big one for me. Everything's really kind of fine, except they still need to work on that timing of display on pitch. It's all well and good having these neat little graphical pop-ups and things triggering off and animations playing. But sometimes, for example, if you go and make a dodge double GFI block onto an opponent piece, you lose track of where you are and what part has just gone wrong. We saw Rick earlier today actually make a bit of a mistake because it was very difficult to tell if he'd failed the GFI or the Dauntless roll. And obviously one of those you can forgive and the other one really has to be addressed, otherwise your turn is over. And it's there. It's the little bar at the top of the screen that says, you know, GFI has been failed, waiting to see if you use a reroll. But it doesn't have that immediate intuitiveness that Blood Bowl 2 did, because in Blood Bowl 2, you watch your player fall tail over tea kettle, and it's like, do you want that to not happen?
This is a huge answer to or could be to what seems like a relatively small question, because there's loads of stuff that they've put in now that's better, and there's loads of stuff that I'd still like to see. So some of the players are responding to some of the actions now, some aren't. We've got the amazing Kaz animation. I absolutely love it. Almost everybody does. But I'd love something like that for KOs and touchdowns. We don't have much for that.
Yes, maybe something for a touchdown. Although I do worry I may have turned it off. I have turned some stuff off that I notice other people still have on. But also, before we move too far forwards, I am going to call a halt and say, what a perfect way to introduce Space Cadet to the stream with a long, extended rant from someone who no one knew who was talking. So welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl, Space Cadet. As I said, a perfect introduction to you. Never have I met a man in Blood Bowl so forthright with an opinion, and yet who I always end up agreeing with, despite how nonsensical some of it always sounds when you begin.
I'm wise. I'm so wise.
Is the facial look entirely a Rick Reckless tribute act?
No. It's just that we come from Blood Bowl 2 as a starting point. And as we all well know, the only customization possible is a selection of faces. And there was only about four of them. So I think you'll find about a quarter of Blood Bowl streamers have this look. Really looking forward to some DLC being released with Blood Bowl 3 that will allow us to change it up a little.
It is fair to say, I think it's fair to say, let me see if you agree with me, that you are perhaps known as the man most likely to be Blood Bowl's minority report. To be the one out in left field saying, why protect your ball? That's nonsense. Cages are for the weak. Rerolls. I mean, actually, we'll talk to Yak about rerolls, and perhaps he might need to understand how they work now in the later season of the rules. But is it fair to say you're sometimes a bit out there with your views?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's mostly because there's a lot of times where I'm like, okay, no, I accept that this is, in fact, the best thing to do, statistically speaking. But it's also incredibly boring, and if I have to do it every single game, I'm going to absolutely lose my mind. So I feel that taking an alternative path, whilst it may be statistically slightly less optimal, what it is doing is making your opponent respond to things instead of playing by rote, which can occasionally lead to an advantage. So I think there's a lot of sort of swings and roundabouts to it, and it's just an approach that makes the game so much more fun for me.
And that
is the most important thing.
I mean, I think that's the thing people would always say, is that when you watch Space Cadet playing Blood Bowl, he is always having fun.
So much fun. More fun than I can handle.
Or sometimes might it be that that's not always the case. But forthright with your opinions. Now, you have been loving Blood Bowl 3, so give me the big heads up. Why? What's it done for you?
Yeah, so...
How much have they paid you?
So, for one thing...
Have they got your kids in a closet?
There's a shake-up. There is a shake-up to the game that we were all playing. After playing 4,000 hours of Blood Bowl 2, I started finding the game just a little bit repetitive. Which I think was just really coming across in my streaming of it. There was just so many occasions when I found myself getting dour and complaining about the opponent, even though all they were doing was playing the game. I'd seen it several thousand times before. So very excited about a new twist on the old classic Blood Bowl. And for all that it's being maligned, there's a lot of really good stuff to Blood Bowl 3. I'm kind of enjoying that. I'm enjoying what's there and not let myself get too hung up on what isn't. And part of this might be in a little bit of optimism in believing that it will be there eventually, and I can wait for it. I can enjoy the novelty now and then wait for what's necessary to make it a really solid game.
Let's bring Paige and Rick and indeed Yak, if he wants to, in on this as well. Our brooding, sexy mountain sat there in the dark. Talking about the belief, that was something last week that really wasn't shared amongst the team, was the belief that Cyanide are going to stick to the roadmap and get Blood Bowl 3 in the shape we all want it to be in within, say, 6 to 9 months. Do you have that belief? Are you behind Cyanide? Do you think we're going to get there?
Yeah, I think they've kind of put their money where their mouth is, too, by giving the first Battle Pass away for free. If it was a smash and grab, make as much money as we can and abandon it, that would be very wrong to do. But by giving the first one away for free, if they can salvage the rocky launch and get a whole bunch of people playing Bubble for 4 years, they'll make more money by giving the first one away for free. So I think that's kind of them actually putting their money where their mouth is, that they are in it for the long haul.
Yeah, for those not up to date, what Mr. Page is referencing there is the very latest release from Cyanide. And there's been several this week, as well as a bug fix and our servers are down for maintenance. Really, you're maintaining them 3 days after launch. No, you're fixing something. So we had the bug fix, we had the servers down, we had a release about the admin tools, which basically said, yes, the ones we said are coming, they're still coming. They're not here yet, but they will come really soon, we promise. And then we also had one talking about the problems with the Brutal Edition getting released to everybody, what they were doing about that, and about just generally the state of the game. I think they've admitted that the launch was a bit of a shit show. I think the press didn't leave them a lot of space. Some of the press is discussing how bad it was. And is it sort of an example of how not to release games? So they can't be unaware, and neither can any of us, that this is, you know, if we're enjoying playing this, it's the environment we're playing it in. And what have they done about it? Well, they've said that whilst they are going to take the cosmetics away from the people that didn't pay from them, to recompense those that did, they've got they're getting some bonus Warpstone. The first, as Mr. Page said, the first season's Blood Pass will be free to all users, as I understand it, that have the game. And that'll give us access to that 13th team and to some free cosmetics and just generally get the whole ecosystem rolling. They've also altered their monetization of the customizables. So now when you buy a standard item, a rare item, or a unique item, those will be available across your team. And only legendary items will be single use, which will remain single use. my view is they were always there to milk the whales anyway, and I'm probably going to get enough cosmetics off the blood pass that I've got some trinkets to dress my team up. It'll be all right. But I can understand why people are still upset about all of that. How do we feel about the progress this week and where it's left us as a team? Let's bring you all in on that. What about this free blood pass? What about the fixes? Is it all heading in the right direction? Are we Team Cyanide? Do we believe?
Hey, Papa, can I get...
Come on, let's bring the beautiful Yaxter in, that brooding mountain of sexuality. He's been in the corner waiting for his moment. Hello, Yak. Welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl.
Thank you very much. About UI and validations and declarations, I think that's an unfair comparison to Blood Bowl 2, because in the rule set of Blood Bowl 2, you actually do not need to validate so many things, such as targets for fouling, targets for blitzing, and so on. It took me more time to learn how to adapt to Fumble Blood Bowl 2020 new UI than it took me to Blood Bowl 3's. About faith, except from the wheel, because I don't know why they are so stubborn with the wheel, they have changed everything else. Like, we asked them to clear the screen, to remove all the UI, to improve the readability from the betas. They have made so many changes that, you know, at some point we hit their proud. Like, they had a design and we destroyed it totally. Like, we never thought about how painful it might have been to them, changed so much their initial idea of the game and their second idea of the game in the beta 2, because it was totally destroyed. I don't know if you took the time to look into the options, but I have this joke with the Spanish community that you can run a D&D party with the amount of options that you have in Blood Bowl 3 already, and this is just first month. You have a myriad of options. About progress, it's so early, 7 days in or 10 days, I don't know exactly how many days, but they have already maintained the service and they have changed the matchmaking, they have fixed so many bugs, and financially for their company, this is the big launch that should get them the financial stability for the next 2 years. So yes, obviously, nobody should even put into doubt that they are gonna deliver, but I don't know if you noticed their priority list must be hell. Like, how do you prioritize everything they need to do at the moment? And
someone said in the chat that's just flashed by, past performance is the best indicator of future performance. Let's look at their priorities so far. They've put a very effective shop in place.
Don't get me wrong, I had 2 children since they announced the game and since they released
exactly.
The game. Okay. I totally agree that they are.
By the way, everyone, that is true in any given year. That's just, it's just what it does.
It's just the rate at which Yak multiplies. Yeah, it's a concern.
But I must disagree with many of the things, but I'm a little bit special, because with Beta 2 I was already able to play, I had no eye sickness, and in partly it is because I as you know, I'm one of the few people that play moving the camera all around. Like, I change the angle of the camera every time, every turn, multiple times, and that is super helpful to click on the right and on the right spots to actually get the game going. But I do believe, I do have faith. I think that they either go broke or they will continue delivering. Slowly, yes, they are very slow. I have noticed. But yes, they will deliver.
I think that's kind of like a very important thing with what they've been doing recently. I wouldn't normally think that a company kind of needs this sort of thing from its community, but I mean, Cyanide are kind of showing that they do. Because obviously a lot of people are very angry about how long it's taken them to launch this product and then to launch it with some things in place. It's like, I'm not a professional, but I can tell you that this is a really bad thing and you shouldn't have done it this way. But it's so important that they are listening to that feedback and going, okay, then we will change this. Like, if you're telling us that this is absolutely no good to you and that this was horrible, get it out of here. We'll put in a new thing that we hope you'll like better. Because a lot of companies wouldn't bother. A lot of companies would just be like, oh well, too bad, it's what we did.
But when Sir Clive Sinclair sold the Citroën C5, no matter how many extra buttons he put on the dashboard, it was still going to be a terrible little electric bike with the handlebars beneath your knees. In the options, there may be 1,000 different options to change the game. If I can't watch a replay, if I can't save it, if it's fundamentally unstable, if it doesn't quite feel like I'm controlling it, and if the information being shown at me doesn't tell me what's going on,
But it is
I
not PC,
care.
Sorry. Sorry, it is not. First of all, it is playable. I mean...
It's very playable.
I'm saying this not only to you, but to... I'm going to look at the camera. But if you are alone watching Twitch and you feel like you are... you must be ill mentally because everyone is complaining, but you're having fun. You're not the only one enjoying. Everything's okay with you. There are others, you know. PC, this is a little bit
staring
of staring
into those eyes. I think I'm enjoying it now, Yak.
But I am enjoying it. I can't play it. I have.
That's why I'm doing this show.
Top notch match. I have played an Arian. I have played randos that I don't know why they play very well. They position very well their elves, and I complete the game. I've played against Morg many times, and I've won. And you can win against Morg. And I have seen and watched even streamers that they complain so much about the game, but actually you see them complaining about dice. So that's check. That's Blood Bowl. Check. if they are complaining about dice, everything is going well. And you said it's unstable. So I haven't suffered a crash in so long. You were saying you don't have replays. Yes, we don't have replays, but replays are not necessary to play Blood Bowl. Sorry, replays are necessary
content.
Yeah, this does bring me to the charge we need to level against you, Yak, this evening. You stand
and
accused, and you know you do.
We have replays, you know.
You stand accused. We have launched into a system where we know there are new players coming into Blood Bowl. We know this from the tabletop. If you go to a tournament nowadays, there's a lot of new people that have bought the second box, heard about it from their grandparents or whatever, and are coming. Actually, there's a new generation. I've met people that don't know what a GFI is. When I say I'm going to GFI, they say, "What's that?" And I say, "Oh, a rush." And they go, "Oh, yeah, okay." And I was genuinely quite scared. There must be new people turning up to Blood Bowl 3 or returning to Blood Bowl via Blood Bowl 3. Not only are they being driven away by people like Mr. Page, smashing them down, no door, going dead. Are you pile driving, Mr. Page? Are you to replace the claw?
Only because I hit it randomly. Randomly leveled up, and then I have to hit the button.
Of course. There. It's got to be tried.
It would be rude not to.
And added to this toxic, hate-filled pool they've reached, though matchmaking does seem to have got a lot better with the latest patch, you've instigated a system to ruthlessly exploit and drive away these new players. Now, I have heard this leveled at you. What are you doing? Why do we have this nonsense of a chalice that's encouraging people to build great big teams and prey upon the new and the weak, Yak? You evil man.
Well, first of all, you know, at the best moment of Blood Bowl 2 tallies, we had around 200 to 300 tryharders, contenders for the tallies, and then other 4,500 people that had no hope whatsoever to qualify. Only a fraction of those are now playing Blood Bowl 3. So saying that, that fraction of players that actually, you know, are curious about this first CCL in Blood Bowl 3 preseason are stamping on noobs is all the time, and that every newcomer is spinning into them is just mathematically wrong. I mean, there are not enough pro players to actually, they are like a drop of water in the ocean, you know. They are not going
to. So we can afford to let Gdanik feed on a few because the rest will swim by.
Sure, but that's from the factual and mathematical part. But I deny the fundamental behind that question too, because I was a newcomer to Blood Bowl 1 and stopped playing. Then started as a newcomer in Blood Bowl 2 too. I qualified with Skaven before I had ever yet successfully made that one turn. Okay, so I remember perfectly what it was to be so afraid of spinning, because you knew that you were going to get your ass wiped. Okay? Like, everyone was better than you. I remember not even understanding why some races were better, were worse or better than others, and the learning curve it was. But you know, I like and I think that newcomers lose because that's how they get hooked up, because they are spinning in a multiplayer environment. They are supposed to lose if they don't know what they're doing. And some will leave, but that's okay. Those aren't the golden
seeds. Should there not be a sign?
Future.
I mean, there more or less is in Fumble that says, if you press this button for a random game, you're likely to get your ass wiped.
Yeah, but that will... I have played Fumble, and thank God that I was already experienced coach, because otherwise, Fumble is unforgiving. And every coaching club will make you have a very bad time if you're not experienced. Yes, I do believe that newcomers that leave the game because it is too hard. You know, it's a niche game. It is too hard. Well, you want players to see the real thing and to get hooked up by the difficulty and to you know, I do believe that the thematic is so strong that it is what gets newcomers in. And then we hope that the best thing I think we can do is to hope that the thematic will keep them playing until they understand enough of the game, until they join your channel in Twitch or Jimmy's channel in Twitch or any other streamer that actually explains good Blood Bowl and not talking about Space Cadet.
Wow.
Shots fired.
No. I always lose against Space Cadet. I'm talking too much, so I wanted to make a reference to another in the room. But just finishing, yes, the way to get to turn newcomers into golden seeds of the future is to make them lose. It's to have them play an Arion, so they see what an Arion can do.
Them.
So ruthlessly beat new people.
Sure.
Raise our children by punching them in the face, and the strong will survive.
If I can interject, though, I do think that we have a bit of a skewed perspective on this thing. Because obviously, as a bunch of streamers, what we see and what our chat sees on a regular basis is a streamer, someone who should probably be quite good at Blood Bowl due to having played a lot of it, spin into somebody who does not necessarily know what the hell they're doing and beat them half to death. And we see that pretty consistently. And then occasionally, the streamer will spin into somebody else who's also really good and will have a tightly run game of proper Blood Bowl as according to the meta. And so we feel like perhaps there is this overabundance of talented players beating everybody up in CCL and making it no fun. But I think if you went and took the casuals' viewpoint on things... the people who spin up like five games of Blood Bowl in a week total, perhaps, they will go weeks between seeing a really good coach and losing a game horribly. The rest of the time, it's the bad coaches spinning into the bad coaches and playing some really hilariously bad Blood Bowl at each other and hopefully learning a thing or two.
So most of the time, people are stumbling in the dark, bumping into other people stumbling in the dark. And when it's Eliod who's pickpocketing them and then cutting their throat, they won't realise it.
Yeah, they think, wow, that game went so badly. A lot of new coaches actually lack the knowledge of the game to properly evaluate why they lost the game the way that they did. It's why you get people who are not terribly good at Blood Bowl accusing you of Norsing them because they lost all of their players to your Norse, punching them in the face. So don't stand there. So, yeah.
Mr. Page, your stream is a happy place. I know lots of new players come on your stream. Dominating the North American scene, you get a lot of new people in there. Do you agree? Should we treat them mean to keep them keen?
I've never been good at pulling punches. I've had some people show up and be like, hey, you're playing against my friend. Go easy. I'm like, I can't go easy. Yeah. But I would say that I noticed like my second game in quick match was against an opponent who didn't know what strength was. So he brought an assist in to help a Black Orc hit, my regular 3-strength guy. That happened once. So I think my MMR actually rose high enough to get out of this, like, horrible, totally new player bracket. And now I'm going against people who use the default setup, so they're not great. You know, putting five guys on the line or whatever. But I have not encountered somebody who fundamentally, like, just randomly picked up Blood Bowl and doesn't know how assists work. since that one game, my second game in. So I think they actually have a system in there that is helping keep the fundamentally new people from ramming into the juggernauts. And I think what Space Cadet said is important too. When those new people do hit a juggernaut, they don't even realize what happened. They're not getting scared away because they got crushed. They don't even know what went wrong. Which is, it's also a benefit to them too, because when they get really lucky and actually get a win against those kind of people, which it's Blood Bowl, you can, they don't realize they got absurdly lucky and they're just like, yes, I beat Mr. Page, and they feel good about it. So it, because there's so much randomness, it does help bridge that skill gap. And you know, you'll, on average, the better player will win. But if you can get that win, that one win in your first 10 games that will anchor you as a new player and make you feel great and keep you coming back, that's good enough.
Yeah, it does and feel good that even the first draw, let alone the first win. But the first time you get a touchdown over the line. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think there's better matchmaking to come. We're in the preseason still. And I have noticed too, I've rated some variety streamers at the end of my streams, and they seem to be having way more fun than the enfranchised tabletop and Blood Bowl 2 people. So I think the more casual you are, the actual more fun you're having with Blood Bowl 3. You don't have all these expectations. Yeah.
Now, I do want to touch on this because someone very wisely said in the chat, is this a better matchmaking system? Is this the fact that we are, you know, just getting out of that point where you run into the brand new people? Or are there no brand new people? Is Blood Bowl 3, do we think, doing okay? Have the reviews sunk this? Is this now, you know, a dead ship?
I think people only stay incredibly bad at Blood Bowl for their first 5 or 10 games. After that, they start realizing, oh, every time I do that, it ends really poorly. Let's not make that mistake again. And they make new and exciting mistakes, but not those incredibly elementary ones. The weird input method for the new perfect defense, whatever they call it. I don't remember. But where you have to select your players.
Solid defense. It's no longer perfect. Solid defense. It's just solid.
Yes. Yeah, so you only screw that up once. And I think there's a lot of things in Blood Bowl that are like that, where you're only going to screw it up once, because you do it wrong, you lose, and you go, ah, that ruined my turn. I'll look out for that. So I think it's just that the learning curve of Blood Bowl is very sharp, but it doesn't take a lot to put you on that first rung that is better than completely new.
In Space Point, on everything we see on Twitch is good players, because streamers are good players that win games against newcomers. Just to give you rough data, according to Steam, you have 1,500 players playing at almost every time Blood Bowl, and maybe we have 4 or 5 good streamers that are good Blood Bowl players. So just by the force of numbers, it is impossible that this is a thing. Okay? And I totally agree with Space. We don't know what newcomers learn or not learn. Sometimes they win and also learn. Of course, you will learn more suffering the pain of Nuffle punishing you because you did it wrong, and that is, as Space perfectly explained, one of the beautiful parts of Blood Bowl, this sport that we love, and it is that sometimes you will not notice that you did a shit play because you want to reward it with it working.
Yeah, certainly it is a game where you can do everything wrong and it all works out fine. You can do everything right and it's not going to work out fine. Nuffle says no that day.
You see, can I introduce this, because we talk about the press reviews. I wanted to say a few words about that, because I read and listened to IGN review, and I had also watched and read the Blood Bowl 2 review, and I rewatched it again. And, I'm going to say that, long story short, they have no idea of Blood Bowl. I mean, ING recommends, and it recommended already for Blood Bowl 2, that we forgot about the rules and we created a video game that was inspired in Blood Bowl 2 but not turn-based. And that they repeat that recommendation in Blood Bowl 3 review. And I can also... that so many talk about this. Like, saying that, I mean, giving any credit to those reviews that recommend that we forget about the rules of Blood Bowl, about turns... I think we should don't even give any credit to those reviews. But then you have reviews like Angry Joe's review that I, sorry, this is my personal opinion, laughable. Like, he spends 75% of his presentation just complaining about the shop. And he doesn't actually address anything that we have in 15 minutes mentioned here. Like,
that is one thing that I think a lot of reviews and annoying opinionated people on YouTube, it's a bit like, no, we're going to focus entirely on the cosmetics shop. I'm so glad that Cyanide have changed it, if only because this new model is pretty much unassailably just a cosmetics shop in the same fashion that almost everybody else in the industry does it. But like, I feel like predatory was thrown around as such a buzzword, and a lot of it stems from this initial misunderstanding that it would be a single use of a cosmetic, and once you'd applied it, it was gone, and you have to buy another one if you ever want to use that cosmetic again.
It is, and they stuck with that. It is a single use at one time.
Not
yes,
anymore.
It's a discrete. It was initially intended as a discrete inventory. If you want to be using four hats at one time, you need to have purchased four hats.
So come on, Spacey, you can't deny that people instantly saw that and thought, they want my money. You must understand why people felt.
They do want your money. Let's not get this wrong. They do want your money. They are game developers. They didn't do this out of the goodness of their hearts. But
guys, Warpstone is meant to be earned after each match. That's not just working yet. But
we haven't even seen how much Warpstone
after every match you're gonna get Warpstone. So you're not gonna pay shit for anything. You're gonna unblock it. Is it in the word in English?
Yes.
Unblock it.
You can not do it at all. As chat has rightly reminded me, another great source of the anger was that since the last beta, we haven't seen an enormous amount of progress on the client. And oddly, in the last week, since we all moaned about it, we have. So their quality assurance process was terrible, because with one week of actual playtesting, they've managed to fix loads of things. What we have seen huge progress on is the shop. I made a joke about it in the intro. But suddenly the shop, which we'd never seen in the beta, was there, was functioning, worked well, clicks through quicker than most of the other menus do, is intuitive, and is ready to take my money. I mean, Rick, they want our money. I haven't got money. You're a young parent. You don't have money. They want our money. We're not crazy. Space is wrong, isn't he? They want our money.
He said they do. Anything wrong with it. Yeah.
We want them to want our money, because we need to fund the ongoing continuation and production of this game, right? Like,
yeah.
It's in our own interests to keep them invested in the game, keep them releasing content for the game, keep them improving the game. And some people love that aspect of games, and they're going to be prepared to spend money on that. I do in some games. I'm not so bothered about it in Blood Bowl personally. But that's a good thing. It's like people like the hobby side of Blood Bowl. I play tabletop Blood Bowlers that openly admit, like, I'm not really bothered about playing the game. I just do it occasionally. I just like to paint the teams. But then once I've done it, I kind of want to use the team, so here I am, you know. And then I try and play a bit of a relaxed game against them. And we just have a good chat.
To my first two rounds of the NAFC, exactly the same situation. I mean, I love it when I spin into them in the first round of the NAFC. They've painted. They've come to play what they've painted. But really, that's what they're there for. Mr. Page, what about you? Is the monetization, is it too far? Is it just right? Is it the sweet spot?
I don't really have a horse in the race. Like, I didn't intend to buy anything. I was really taken aback. Like, I personally was shocked when I found out you could only put your helmet on one guy. But if you step back, I think it makes sense that, like, if you get a really cool dagger for a gutter runner, you pick a gutter runner to put it on. One per team is fine. And a lot of people are upset that now you have to buy four daggers for your gutter runners. But honestly, that doesn't matter. Like, the bottom line matters. Are you getting charged 10 cents a dagger or a dollar
a
dagger?
Yeah.
Like, a dollar for an infinite dagger is more expensive than 4 cents per or 10 cents per dagger. We have to buy four.
So we're complaining with imperfect information, aren't we, anyway?
Yeah, like, I don't know what you're willing to pay to outfit your team. I was willing to pay nothing, so like, I wasn't offended by it. But that everyone's upset because they're all single use, which breaks your intuition. But then when you step back, it's like, oh, no, cool. Like, if I get a flaming dagger for a gutter runner, that should be on one gutter runner. I'm behind that. I like that.
Yeah.
But also complaining that your spiky shoulder pad, which is common, you have to buy four of them. The bottom line is what matters.
I mean, are we all just drinking the Kool-Aid? I kind of thought they came at it from a role-playing perspective of we will buy this and we'll give it to John because John has earned the right to have a magical dagger.
Like World of Warcraft or whatever.
You're
putting one guy on your raid guild. Like, one guy gets the helmet that just dropped.
But if John dies, you will be able to sack John's body and put it in another
Now, in fairness, there was a bug very early on that was preventing you from recovering cosmetic items from dead players. Because you could no longer select them from your team to remove the item, and the pop-up menu that would happen when you try to put that item on somebody else didn't actually contain the bit that you could click on to say, yep, please take it away from the other guy I had it applied to. So yes, if you deleted your team or if the player died, there was no way to recover the item to use it again. But that was an unintentional bug. And I think you kind of have to...
Anyway, I wouldn't be talking about this. I am very surprised with people looking at the shop, and the first thing that comes to mind is monetization, greed. And I'm very surprised with the announcement of Cyanide and Naked.
I think the first thing that came to mind was I've already paid £20 more to get customizations for my Imperial nobility and for my Black Orcs, and the amount of customizations I get has allowed me to outfit one Goblin and one Black Orc. And I've got five more Black Orcs, and I've got five more Goblins. How much of my money do they expect? So there was a reason why people went, hang on, to outfit everyone, it's going to cost me a chunk of money, even without knowing what that money was. Because we'd already paid £20 and outfitted two guys.
We have seen Angry Joe, for example, placing £772 to equip a team and things like this. Does anybody really think that Cyanide plan is to get almost $1,000 from each player by team? I mean... It is ridiculous. They obviously weren't thinking about this. And they obviously, and they said it, were saying that Warpstone would be gained through playing. They just fucked it up hard because they didn't implement at the release the system by which you earn that Warpstone. That's the big scene, in my opinion. And what we should be talking about, in my humble opinion, is not a monetization because it's a known topic. It is more that the options that you have in the shop. I mean, if by any sort of system that you get Warpstone, you actually can buy every week things, you are streamers. You will be able to offer your audience the choice of how to make and customize your players for the next round of playoffs for the and make jokes with them. And have you seen? The so many things that you can do already, and the things that you will be doing, I would be more into, hey, customization is great. How can I take that from the game and use it in my stream?
You're encouraging me to rinse my user base watching me on Twitch for more money so that they can customize players with their name.
You're all the time saying that you're going to pay for that. And I bet you that most of you are not going to pay anything, and you're going to unblock everything through earning Warpstone when it is ready in Season 1. Just wait for it. But I'm also foreseeing that you all... we'll use the customization system that Cyanide has already available to see in the game to do lovely things that your audience will love.
Mr. Page, are you going to be doing lovely things that your audience will love with the customizations? Are you going to be driven into playing dollies?
I think the customization system basically isn't there yet. There's like a placeholder. You can buy a spiky shoulder pad, and there's two legendaries. There's no epics. So we don't know yet. Like when I got into Overwatch, when that first came out, you got a loot box like every game. Every game you won, a loot box would pop, and you get a cool little emote for Lucio, and you'd get all this little stuff trickling in at you. And you could also spend money to get like the really cool things really quickly. And then maybe like every week in Overwatch, you'd get a legendary pop up too. Like we honestly have no idea what we're gonna get.
$20 for one skin for one character, which is.
We don't yet know because we don't know the pricing policy. There was a lot of panic, and I understand where it's coming from. Some of the early signs, as I said, the amount that people paid to have the ability to customize their Imperial ability, and it was two of them. Mm. It was one from each.
I feel that the biggest issue, really, was that, as you said, they launched with this shop that seemed fully outfitted and ready to go, whilst the game itself was not. And it was like, hey, hold on a minute. Why is their shop all set up whilst their game is all over the place? And I'm about to say something really unfair to the development team behind Blood Bowl 3. I prefer it this way because I feel like if they'd have actually worked on the game without us telling them how to, they would have ruined it more. Because what we have seen is that they have some really bad ideas regarding what they should do with the game itself, and they have needed an enormous amount of feedback from the player base to tell them, we don't want this to look like that, please have it be like this. This information
and
is
and you feel
not
listened to
us.
Now,
please give it that way. I feel like they're moving in a very positive direction, and I feel like they're showing an enormous amount of willingness to discard their terrible ideas in order to implement better ones. They've not finished it yet, but that's because it's a work in progress. And that's why they've got a roadmap, and that's why we're all hoping that please do stick to that roadmap and don't make it 3 years before we can reconnect to a dropped game.
All right, I'm going to throw you all a bone on this, and then I want to bring Rick in and see what he thinks, because he's a wise and beautiful-looking man. I post adverts for this on Facebook, on my own blog, on Fumble, on some Discords, and also, of course, on Reddit, where usually it gets a fair number of upvotes and just a couple of downvotes. There's a couple of people on Reddit that don't seem to like me, and that's fine. The minute I posted the advert for this, the first four votes were downvotes. The minute I dropped the adverts out on Discord, the first three people to private message me said, how much are they paying you? Or, well, that's going to be a shit show then, isn't it? Are we just in a point where there's a well of negativity and no one wants to speak out against that? Is it now the right thing to say that Blood Bowl 3 is bad and you're not enjoying it?
Well, I have a conspiracy theory for you if you want.
Go for it.
I think that a good total conspiracy theory. I don't actually think this, but picture this. The overseas spies train their English agents to subvert in the video game cultures. And there's actually genuine bad actors who don't understand Blood Bowl at all and are just smear campaigning Blood Bowl, like, unjustly. There are reasons to hate it, but there's all these weird things that pop up. There's a bunch of people reacting with clown faces on Discord to anything positive. It's like, well, what if there's some training going on to attack English cultures with agents, and they're spinning that up and they're training on Blood Bowl 3 being unfair. There you go.
I feel like you're underestimating people's willingness to jump in on negativity for free.
That too. And I mean, a negative headline gets clicks. Blood Bowl 3 doesn't get clicks.
Yeah, Blood Bowl 3, flawed but hopefully good later. Not as exciting as Blood Bowl 3, worst thing to ever have been released for a computer.
Seriously addressing PC's question.
My guess was we were going to, you know, some people from Fumble are trying to torpedo it or something. Not that Chinese and Russian agents were destabilizing the West through their campaign against Blood Bowl 3. But, I mean, you know, look, Trump's been president. I'll believe anything, Paige, absolutely.
It's a wild theory.
What a hot
it
take.
It is a joke. So people are chatter going, you're kidding, right? Yeah, well, yeah, I am kidding.
Yeah, he is kidding. But look, there is certainly negativity around, isn't there? What are we making of that? Why is it there, and why is that seeming to be the hip thing to say? Is it as
because
bad
people
as that?
People wanted more? They expected better.
I think they deserve better, and they didn't get it. I think it's very justified. We've been waiting on Blood Bowl 3 for a very long time, and what has arrived is not what we were expecting to get. And we're all very disappointed because we had this lovely little image in our head about what Blood Bowl 3 was going to be like, and it had been in development for so long that surely it must release looking something like this. And for most people, I think that image was Blood Bowl 2, but with a little golden hat on it that you paid 70 warpstone for. But as a Blood Bowl coach, I think it's really something to encourage to just kind of deal with what you have, not what you wanted to have. Yes, Blood Bowl 3's not what we wanted, but it's also, like, demanding something better and different isn't going to get us anything or anywhere. It's just going to make you feel bad.
Demanding something better and different won't get us anywhere. You realise that's the entire antithesis of social progress over the last several thousand years, Space. Everything we've wanted in life, we have protested about to get, from the vote to rights to...
Yeah, we're kind of doing that with, by saying... training the development team to do good things instead of randomly decide that skill icons might benefit from being five different very bright colours to try to get across through colour theory what their purpose might be. You know.
I would like to say that...
But it's not going to make a new game that's an alternative to Blood Bowl 3 coming to existence, is the point. We are working from where we are.
Yes.
And it's not as far as we want it to be, but we kind of have to face up to that reality and make decisions based on that.
There's a key point here. If we all kill Blood Bowl 3, there is no Blood Bowl 4 coming next
yeah,
week.
Exactly. Hating Blood Bowl 3 will not make a better alternative appear.
Except Fumble, which has all 28 races, is running and is consistently home to some of the best Blood Bowl on the net. But it is a very different thing. It isn't a computer game. It is a simulation of fantasy football.
People don't want to be there. I'm gonna talk over you as well, because if I don't get a couple of points out, they're going to fly away. I'm too sleep-deprived to hold on to them any longer. One is vaguely agreeing with Space Cadet. Yeah, I should have written more down. I hope chat don't jump all over me for this, but I'm glad it's come out now. And the reason is that something was fundamentally going wrong with the playtesting in development. We all saw that. We fed back in the betas that the graphics were all blending and the feedback wasn't good. And they were like, oh, really surprised. Our playtesters didn't notice this. And we said, oh, the skill icons are awful to read and to understand the color coding. And they went, oh, our playtesters who are new players said it's better for new players. They learn better off it. And we were like, what are you on about? And so we really, really struggled to get them to change what they were doing. We fought tooth and nail to get minor changes over time. But now it's come out, and they've got a massive amount of feedback from everybody saying the same thing, pulling the same way. We're effectively playtesting the game now. That's better for us and how the game's going to go than it would have been. It shouldn't have come to this. It's a shame that it has. But this is the best possible outcome and the best chance for the game to get better going forwards. And I think it is what's going to make the game better going forward. So I'm glad that we're doing that. And then regarding, Krista made a good question earlier. He said in the chat, should we have to pay for a game and then continue paying to get the full game later? And I'll make a couple of concessions on this. One is that the Brutal Edition was a complete mess and a complete waste of money for various reasons that we've discussed. Secondly is that, oh my goodness, it's ridiculous what Fumble can produce for free and continue to update for free over time. It's absolutely amazing, and hats off to them for that. But third and final concession is that this should have come out as an early access. They said they were going to release it early access, and then they said, no, we're going to release it full slightly later. This is clearly an early access. In about 6 months' time, it's going to be full release.
Everything except name, it's an early access. Everything all it's missing is having early access slapped across it in the Steam store.
Absolutely.
Before we go through the looking grass, there are bits of this game that should be there that aren't. We would all agree with that, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. I'll just get to the end of this last bit of point.
Sorry, Rick.
That being said, the basic release, you could get a CD key for about £17. That was great value for what we've got. That's great value for early access. So they've said it's full release. Shouldn't have done. Bad on them. We've got great, great value for early access. And I've lost the second part. I knew I'd lose some of it. So there we go. But yeah, at least, you know, for £17, what we've got isn't bad. Oh, no. And here is the final part. And that is, should we carry on paying to get a full game? Well, from £17, you'd expect from an early access to then pay some more over time. And this isn't a normal game, right? This is a game that is mirroring a board game that is constantly developing and evolving. There are new races coming out. The rules are updating. There's new star players, new inducements. You don't normally expect developers to have to keep updating a game at the rate they're going to have to update this to keep it relevant and the game that we want, which is up-to-date Blood Bowl, or relatively as good as they, close as they can get, up-to-date Blood Bowl. And all games have DLC. All games have additional content coming in that we then have the choice of, do we want to pay for that or not? So it isn't that unreasonable. When you frame it as early access and it wasn't too expensive for the basic edition, and what we expect from it, what we're hoping, then actually it is really reasonable that we all pay a bit ongoing to keep this game up to date. They've just done a really bad job of communicating it to us.
Okay. Do we agree?
Absolutely. And it's certainly about the poor job communicating. I think if there's anything that's really obviously at fault with the whole Blood Bowl 3 thing, it's the project management has been fairly dire.
I like Gautier. He seems very passionate about Blood Bowl.
Many people from Cyanide have been communicating with the community in the Discord chat almost every day.
Yeah.
And there's some questions.
I think particularly, I mean, whether Nacon has stepped in, but I do think particularly over the last week or two, communication has massively upscaled. And they seem to be interacting with the community at a much more serious level. I mean, yeah. we're not behind the curtain. Yak obviously is, as an admin. He is a shill, works entirely for Cyanide.
Getting paid all the millions.
Yeah, all the money they give you. Are they being supportive of your attempts to destroy people through this ludicrous chalice system you've put in place?
Yes, they are being supportive. They are slow. That's no news. Yes, they are doing everything they can. And the breaking point right now is the point that we need to come up with is the ranking. Because we need to show the public how we are going to qualify the 16 players that will be playing the first playoffs this 25th.
Yes. Yak, I don't know if you've heard the phrase number wang.
No.
Or indeed tumbler wang. Okay. Number wang was a joke done by a comedic duo called Mitchell and Webb in the UK. It was a game show where supposedly number wang was its name of the show. You had to guess numbers, and certain numbers were number wang and certain numbers were not. It was never clear to anyone, including anyone taking part, what the rules were that produced number wang. This has become the new nickname for the chalice system and the numbers that the ELO-based ladder that supposedly exists in the background. Have you seen that ladder? Does it actually exist?
The ladder actually exists. This
have
is you public
seen
information.
It? Have you seen it?
I have not seen the ladder in a screen.
Okay, so it exists, but not in a way that anyone has seen.
I think that what people want to know is what is Blood Bowl 3 capable of in terms of matchmaking rules and in terms of ranking rules. And I think that we should focus on that. And I can say that I have full confidence in matchmaking in Blood Bowl 3 being better than Blood Bowl 2. Very shortly, it probably already is because it is more powerful. It can handle different layers.
Okay.
Not only TV, not only ELO. Maybe we will have multiple things at the same time, layer over layer. And the ranking system the same. They can do whatever they want. We are married to Cyanide, guys. We are a niche game that it is very, very difficult to teach people and to get people in love with. We're a small community, and Cyanide is everything we've got, and we are everything the Cyanide has. So we should wait, and they are slow. That obviously they are very slow. Again, I had two children. But
you're right. We have limited options. But if there's only one husband available, but that husband beats you, you don't stay with that husband. We have
the
option
not
of
beating
not
us,
doing
and, they're not beating us. And I wanted to address the negativity, and you just gave me the game
good
into it. The negativity.
Come
is
at me,
fine.
Bro.
Protesting is fine, PC, and that's how we got all this progress. But negativity and protests, they cannot choke the things that are okay, the positivity. I mean, and it is happening. We are choking, and we're not giving the microphone, well, except you, PC. Thank you for this a nice opportunity for the people that are actually enjoying the game to speak up. Mm-hmm. And yes, the game is more powerful. There are programming engineers behind it, and they will be working for the following months. People hear that and don't understand that. This means that we will, after summer, for example, and you may say, well, that's so long, we need to wait until after summer. That is, maybe we will get multiple and complex matchmakings, maybe we will get better rankings based on ELO. I mean, Bubble 2 was based on Dode Math.
And maybe we'll get a better working shop, two new races, and three of the fixes they've promised.
No. You're not following me. Yeah, I don't care about the races. I don't care about the better shop. I care about having a platform that is better than anything we have seen, better than Fumble, better than Blood Bowl 2, because it will have better matchmakings, it will have better rankings, it will have more options for private leagues. You will be able to handle your private league through Steam Web. You will have an API. You have people working on it, and they're going to provide. and based on our feedback, what they will provide. When Blood Bowl 2 started, many people would say, hey, this is shit. You can foul someone after scoring a touchdown. That's the place to be. Well, the beginnings are tough. And people that are working with in the tough situation in the beginning are the people that 2 years, 3 years after that, they are going to remember laughing. Do you remember when we could score a touchdown and then foul? Do you remember when Sneaky Geet allowed you to do 7 fouls? That was shit, but look where we are now.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think, the games industry has gatless me to the point where I am now looking at a game that is fundamentally broken, has released in a developer version, which should only be an alpha, let alone a beta, or being in early access. And I'm going, yeah, that's fine, just because everything else is so terrible too.
It is only your opinion that it is an alpha version or a better version. I don't agree with you.
Okay. That's fair. Look, I'm here to ask the questions that I know chat's going to be asking. Because I agree with them.
As someone who's professionally beta tested things, or did for a while, it's a horrible job, by the way. And it's why I get my opinion of like that whole brutal edition thing. Oh, early access, that was not worth it. Because playing a game before it's done is painful. It sucks. Because it's very difficult to have meaning to the experience when you're going to encounter bugs, when you know that you're going to encounter bugs. And unfortunately, in modern gaming, that experience is no longer relegated to a small set of beta testers who are working incredibly hard to deliberately find every bug that might exist in the product, because it's simply not worth it for the development studio to do things that way, because what you can do instead is release it to the public, go and get 4,000 people playing a day, and then wait to listen to what they complain about. I lost a game because I tried to throw a pass and the game locked up. And you now go, oh, cool, we've got 358 reports of that. We now know that this is a serious issue that we're going to have to address and where we should be addressing it from.
So I now work for Cyanide.
And you do. Every single game release, in recent memory at least, has been like this because it's now so simple to push an update to everybody who has a copy of your game. Used to be, back in the day, if you went and released a game and it got some sort of game-breaking bug in it that ruined everybody's enjoyment and made it a bad product, you would have a hell of a time trying to push something that fixed it. It did happen on occasion. You kept, even back in the, really back in the day, you get a floppy disk with a patch to manually install that would fix certain issues in a game. But now, they make their fix and they push it to Steam and it updates everybody's game overnight, or you find that you've got a 5 GB update to do before you can actually play your game and your evening's ruined. But it's unfortunately just kind of how the gaming industry works now.
Counterpoint
because it's
space,
cheaper.
It's kind of how the gaming industry works, because you accept it and make apologies for it when it happens and say, oh, that's just how it is now.
Yeah, and good luck changing it. If you want to, you can just not purchase a game that launches with updates still to go. But what's going to happen is that you're going to be playing every game 2 years behind everybody else.
I paid £10 for Legendary Edition Blood Bowl 2 2 years behind everyone else. When I bought it, it was cheap, it worked, it didn't have any bugs. Well, it had loads of bugs in it, but not the ones that completely break.
You've got to decide for you as a consumer whether that trade-off is worth it or not. It's like when AAA platform stuff releases, and I'm just like, I'm not paying £60 for that. I will wait a year and a half until this bitch goes on sale for 90% off, and I'm going to pick this game up for £5, like Borderlands 3 recently, actually, and then really enjoy it because it's totally worth it to me to miss the boat on that early launch hype.
I think
there's
a quote from Space Cadet we can all get behind. Always pay 90% less for your bitches by waiting till they're old.
Hang on, absolutely. But if you want it when it's new and exciting and everybody else is interested, you might find that you have to pay something for a product that's not quite finished, because that's the way that studios release things now. It is cheaper and more effective for their cash flow to release a product before it's done.
Enough of you all being wrong. We'll move on ever so slightly. One of my theses as to why you're all enjoying yourself was broken when Rick Reckless decided to abandon his child and come on here instead. I've noticed that none of you are big into your fumble. I think this is the first time you've got hold of the Blood Bowl 2020 rules. Is that what you're liking?
See, that brings up a great point.
Okay, Mr. Page.
Go ahead, Yak.
No, Yak can have another rant in a minute. Enough of his beautiful chiseled looks.
Please, let me answer first. Fumble. Miners. Maybe you, PC, know what miners are in Fumble, right?
I do, but I don't like where you're going with this.
Who won the second Blood Bowl 2020 minor?
Well, you did. You have played a bit of Fumble.
I have played just a bit of Fumble.
But Space and Mr. Page haven't. Rick has as well. So my thesis does fall apart. But it's a lot of the fun that we're having. It's a lot of the joy. The fact that we finally got hold of those Blood Bowl 2020 rules, which are now already 3 years out of date.
And well, I hate the Blood Bowl 2020 rules.
Brilliant. I want to talk to you about that in a minute and how wrong you always were. Mr. Page, what are you enjoying? Let's come to you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people ask me, like, they come into the stream and they're like, oh, the reviews are horrible. Why, like, is this game as bad as the Steam reviews would tell you? And I think the wrappers are bad. Like, all of the cosmetic shops, like, awful. Like, there's a lot of wrappers that are bad. There's no metagame. Like, the Blood Bowl game has to stand on its own. Like, the ladder's abysmal. There's no tournaments. Like, you have to enjoy a game of Blood Bowl. And I can enjoy a game of chess without being in a tournament. And I think that's the fundamental thing, is Blood Bowl 3 is better because it's Blood Bowl 2020. And I've asked people, does your local shop go and play the old rules? Is there any local shop that at tabletop that plays the old rules?
Not
I haven't found
I
anyone to say they go back. So we're pushing through bad user interface, no league system, but the underlying game is great, and I'm enjoying the single games. I don't need a wrapper yet. I want a wrapper. I want a bigger thing eventually to keep you going, but the individual games are great right now.
Now, I mean, Spacer said that he doesn't like the 2020 rule set. I mean, I said earlier today that I think they're worse than the late 2016 rule set, which isn't quite what Blood Bowl 2 was. Blood Bowl 2 was the CRP rule set. 2016 came out of that, got rid of the Claw Pom, and put a few other bits and bobs in. I thought that was a great rule set. I don't think this is as good. But I'm still really happy to be playing it because life has to move forwards. And I don't want to be stuck playing a 10-year-old rule set when no one else is. Space, welcome to the world. You got what you wanted. You wanted change, and now you hate it.
I do. Of course I do. But it's nice to have new and interesting things to hate.
Okay.
As they say, a change is as good as a rest. And it is. The nice thing is that the things that I dislike about the 2020 rule set are different to the things that I dislike about the CRP rule set. So good, but also really looking forward to, apparently we've got a 2024 rule set coming along.
It's only
and
rumor.
In 2028, it's going to be great when Blood Bowl 3 is updated to it.
It's only a rumor. No one knows for sure if we have another rule set coming, but it wouldn't surprise anyone.
Yeah, so I don't think the reason I'm enjoying Blood Bowl 3 is simply because they're using a different and better rule set. They're just using a different rule set as far as I'm concerned. And it's, for me, probably because, again, played so much Blood Bowl 2 that I'm just so familiar with the process of it. It had been refined into a very specific mode of play. And it's just like, these are the correct things to always do. These things are wrong. This is how you play Blood Bowl. And that's it. What I'm probably enjoying with Blood Bowl 3 is the enormous number of people who don't have a fixed meta in mind that they are chaining themselves to and incredibly rarely deviating from. It's delightful to see a bunch of people who have gone, I'm going to play some Blood Bowl, and oh man, it takes a while to level up. But half price random skills. And so we're now seeing a bunch of really fun, weird things coaxed by people who are doing unusual stuff. And it's making every game just a little bit more exciting and interesting than the Blood Bowl 2 slow grind of an X cage until the opponent tries a one turn, you know?
Blood Bowl 2020 rules are fresh for us. That's definitely part of it. By the way, Blood Bowl 3 has the best rule set in the world because it doesn't have bombardiers and star player special abilities. So it's the best of Blood Bowl 2020 without the worst. But on a more serious note, it's the first time that we get to play it digitally in 3D. And that's nothing again. There's something to tabletop. There's something to Fumble. They've all got their own charm, but this has its own charm as well.
Yeah.
It emerges us, right? It's more immersive. And we get to four of us here at least, all five of us, when Yak gets the chance, get to stream it and share that with people that then get to watch us play it in 3D. And everybody else here that isn't a streamer, almost everybody in chat, what gets to watch streamers play it and share that with them. And most of us probably watch other streams as well, that even those of us that stream.
So we're all sharing
that experience.
I'm not being very racist. This is his actual name for anyone who isn't aware of him. That Asian guy has recently made that point. Lots of us here do stream. Lots of people weren't interested in Blood Bowl 2 streams because it was the Blood Bowl of 10 years ago. I mean, that rule set literally ended 3 months after that game was released in 2016. Is this a joyful new dawn for streaming with Blood Bowl 3? Are we going to get a new army in of people that want to watch this, the latest version of Blood Bowl?
Yes. Mr. Page, numbers?
I think I was getting four times as many viewers in the first few days, and I've settled at two times as many viewers.
Okay.
So I think a pretty good, like, tide marker. I would say that there's twice as many right now, and it's survived the, like, there's always a burst. I've seen people say Blood Bowl 3 is dead because the users per day is like 40% what it is. That is literally every game. There's always a burst, and then the chart comes down. And I'm hoping that, yeah, we're at the stable twice as many people watching Blood Bowl 3 at the moment.
And more importantly, it depends on us. We can do things to take this opportunity and make the best out of it.
I cannot be more attractive, Yak. And frankly, neither can you. Look at these two beautiful bearded men, and then we have Mr. Page rocking the whole North American scene. There is a man that is a Rocky Mountain. So in terms of the sex appeal on screen, I don't know what we can do. We've got the latest version of the rules now. Are we going to see the numbers in? And are the numbers actually okay? I have to say I was expecting a little more than this. Does Blood Bowl 3 already need a relaunch? Perhaps when Season 1 comes out, or a Legendary Edition at the end of the year? I mean, they've absolutely shat the bed on this launch. I think everyone would agree with that, wouldn't we?
I think it really wouldn't hurt things if they tried to push a bit of a new advertising thing for the launch of Season 1. Because, like I say, this initial launch has been a early access where they're ironing out problems. And Season 1, I think it was always their plan, but Season 1 is where things really begin. That's where we will have all the early issues ironed out, all the servers infrastructures in place, all of the ranking and matchmaking systems will be there. Hopefully we'll have some admin tools so that people can actually run, you know, their own tournaments. And that's going to be big. That's going to be really important, and that needs to go well. So I think they should kind of remark it.
So it's all on Yak. Rather than destroying the game, he's going to save it, is he?
I still believe that it is on us to, for example, cast as many streamers as can cast them the playoffs of the CCL of the preseason, so that we get those newcomers, those people.
But yeah, we can't spectate the game. How can we? There's
we
no replay.
Will work it out. I mean, this I believe this Kennedy sentence: "Don't ask what your government can do for you, but what you can do for your government." And I'm applying just replace government with cyanide. We will do our best to have the replays of those matches. Jimmy will need to...
Are we
going to
go what is admittedly known as the Spanish method and just get people filming themselves with their camera phones? Is this what we're reduced to, Yak?
All we need is somebody to go on Discord broadcast.
This is in the rules. We will have every qualifier, and you know, if both opponents cannot cast it on Discord, it's fine. We can find two more qualifiers. Okay, we will get them, because that's what is CCL? CCL is a reason to play the ladder, a reason not to concede, a reason to create a new team, but mostly the most important part of CCL is Jimmy Fantastic. It's Artemis Black. It's anyone who is casting the playoffs, because every coach wants to be watched. Every coach wants to be criticized.
So we come back to the missing things that would have allowed us as a community to make this game work better.
We will...
Is it not a dereliction of duty? They launched this game without my ability to show a replay, to help with coaching, to help promote things like
your
the chalice.
Negativity PC is choking my positivism.
I wouldn't want to choke you, Yak. Not in that way.
Yeah, I think part of the problem.
You're saying that we will not have replays. We will have them. Only it is shit that we have to do it this way. Yes, I agree with you. But we are married with cyanide. What can we do have those newcomers?
Just for a second, I want to come back to something we slightly touched on but glossed through. Yak, you're obviously a shill. You've been paid by cyanide to say these things. And Space, I love you, but you're insane.
Just to clarify, I've been paid shit.
Rick,
okay?
And Mr. Page, I don't care to ask, and it would be rude to do so, but I would imagine, I think both of you at least would count part of your income as coming from streaming Blood Bowl 2. Is your future secure? Are you happy? Are you safe and feeling that this is going to work, that Blood Bowl 3 is going to do it for you, and you're going to be able to carry on with the riches that Twitch has brought you?
I feel better than I did when the betas were out, a lot better. Nothing's certain in life, right? And so that's fine. But I'm as confident as I have been, and I am pretty confident that we're looking at, you know, at least as good as we were at Blood Bowl 2. Probably a little better, because that was getting really long in the tooth, and we were losing a lot of the fumble viewers and the tabletop viewers, because we were getting that disconnect, that out of dateness with the rules. And regarding what you said, PC, on the viewership on Twitch, I think part of why you're not seeing, say, me or Misspelled Tree get way more numbers when we're streaming is we're all so excited to play it. We're all streaming it at the same time. We're all streaming twice as much as we were. I've been getting sometimes the same viewership at the same time as that when I would have been on by myself, as when Andy and Mr. Page and Jimmy are all streaming at the same time, and I'm still on the same numbers. I'm definitely getting loads of people coming in and saying, I'm new to Blood Bowl. I've just picked this up. You know, what can you teach me? Sorry for stupid questions. Here's this, here's that. I'm also getting people saying I've come back because it's the new rules and I'm excited for Blood Bowl 3. So, yeah, at the moment, it's looking really vibrant and exciting to me from a community point of view and from a streaming point of view.
Excellent. Mr. Page?
Yeah, I agree. Like, you're never, as a content creator, I've been trying to get streaming to be my job for 3 years now, and you're never going to be secure. I think you can hit a point where, like, you can build up a nest egg and have a huge buffer amount in your bank, but you're always at risk as a YouTuber. YouTube could shut down. They could change their rules and your content's gone.
Sure.
You know, rip prankster videos. Like, so you're never really secure, but I feel better about it now 2 weeks in than at negative one day, for sure. And like Rick said, the number of new subscribers is blowing me away. Because resubscribers are pretty common, but the amount of new people showing up and dropping their Twitch Primes and first month subs is super encouraging. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean it is nice for me. I talked about this last week. I've been in that situation where I've turned the computer on, and often, you know, having a family, having kids, and a demanding wife who hates me most of the time. There are times I just don't have time to stream, but I fancy a game of Blood Bowl. It's still a hobby for me. It's still something I enjoy doing. And I found I don't want to fire up Fumble. I don't want to fire up Blood Bowl 2. I'm quite enjoying Blood Bowl 3. Now, that may be the joy of the new. It may just be the fact they gave it to me for free. I was accused of that after last week's comments. And, you know, fair play. I have admitted I did get a free copy, and that was nice. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is, and hence I wanted to get you guys on. And it's nice to hear Rick being very positive, having, I know, been very down. Mr. Page, who's just been a beacon of positivity throughout the launch of Blood Bowl 3. Space Cadet, who from day one people were saying, Space is all over this. He loves it. So it was good to hear why. We are coming towards the very end of this. We talked about the game itself. What about this new rule set? We've talked about it. What are we liking there? What's been fun for us in Blood Bowl 3? What are we enjoying doing? What race? What skill? Let's be positive. Stop arguing with me and persuade me. What are you loving doing, Yak?
Multiple rerolls that changes every decision. It is such a powerful tool that also pushes the game into the right direction of allowing good coaches to differentiate from bad coaches, because bad coaches will burn rerolls when in a moment in the match that it will not mean the difference, and good coaches will, you know, sometimes just say, hey, with three rerolls, my one turn is amazing. By the way, where are all the one turns in Blood Bowl 2020? I want to see more one turns, because it is so easy to one turn with Blood Bowl 2020 rules in a game that still cannot allow you to not dodge. You
Boo
need to dodge.
Boo this man and his one turns. Boo this man and his one turns.
Now, I think the reason chat's gone quiet is they're probably as amazed as me. Yeah, are you gonna? Can you look into the camera and say again that multiple rerolls is a good thing?
Yeah, multiple rerolls are a good thing because bad players.
Are you gonna have some on your rosters then?
I have a human team with three rerolls and
three.
Luxury.
And I really think that humans are a great race to play with so many rules because they are strong, they are jack of all trades, and they differentiate because the rules are very cheap. So you can do everything on 3+, you have inbuilt rules in every player, so you can abuse those GFIs, you can abuse the red dice. Crystal Hunter are going to love them.
I think it was probably Rick's stream because it was a god tier spin, but someone I was watching earlier span into a team with six rerolls, Yak. Can you ever see that being your team?
That is too much. That is way too much, even in Blood Bowl. I mean, I played once High Elves with six rerolls and no dodge. It was so fun. But it was a bugger that you couldn't use multiple rerolls inside a turn. I can see a team of elves skipping dodge and playing with six rerolls. But only if you do crazy stuff like that, you need six rerolls.
Okay. Anything else other than the rerolls? What else? Anything else you're really loving right now?
Random skills, man. Oh my goodness,
random
I can't get enough.
Addictive. Oh
more,
my god.
More leveling up, which is just the best thing in the game anyway. And then getting a skill that you wouldn't normally take, but for cheap, and then getting to try and incorporate and get the best out of it. So your players all build differently, and then you have to build around that player with the skill that they've got. It makes it so different every time, and you're getting TV value out of it. Oh man, I could just play random skill teams all day.
I mean, I've said it before, they don't call you Rick Careful. Space, what are you loving about the new game, the new rules? What's floating your boat?
So I mean, totally agree with Rick. The random skill thing is absolutely incredibly so fun. Disagree with Yak on the multiple rerolls, but I don't think we've seen the elf sweat really pour in yet so that we can get very, very sick of that nonsense happening. Honestly, I think what I'm enjoying the most is, as I've said before, the number of new elements that people are still experimenting with and the number of new coaches who don't know what the fixed meta is for this game. Blood Bowl is so much more fun, so much more exciting when people aren't trying to game the hell out of it to get the most statistically reliable method of playing a game of Blood Bowl. It is just kind of some people doing some weird stuff with some random things happening, and it's bad but really, really fun. And it's kind of what I've always wanted from Blood Bowl, is to be a little more bad and a little less formulaically reliable.
Just to piss Spacey off, then I am going to say that 64% of coaches don't currently realise that the frog doesn't have any hands and try and pick the ball up with it.
Who would forget that a small animal does not have hands and can't carry your ball? Sounds like a real rookie mistake to me.
Dogs, I believe, do fetch balls, so not universally. Cats, rarely. Space, they nerfed kickoff events, something you were passionately ranting about for many a year.
Yes,
obviously,
fantastically
you've got to be
well
upset that's cost you one of your best rants. They over-nerfed them, didn't they? Admit it.
Yeah,
say it.
Okay, so they did not over-nerf the kickoff event.
Damn you!
I hate Blitz that much. What they did, and what I will grant you, is that they have chosen to interpret the rule that they wrote in the stupidest way possible,
which is an over nerf.
Perfectly... No, because it's not a nerf. It's a bad implementation.
Look, sweltering heat is still there, and sweltering heat can destroy games.
But at least now if it takes three of yours.
No, it
so
can't.
It's,
yeah, it
it's
can't
more
destroy
equal.
Games anymore. And that's the point. So the thing is that there are some new kickoff events that are actually pretty interesting. And things happen with them. I really enjoy trying to surf people into pitfalls. It's never going to work,
so
but one day it will.
Space.
It will happen, and I will be so happy that it will make up for how completely irrelevant it's been.
Happy is a good reason to do it. Just don't expect it to be useful. Mr. P.
Joy quotient.
You fell in a pit trap.
Preston.
I had the pit traps active with a blitz, and the ball landed on the pit traps. So I'm like, well, whatever, 1-6. I put my guider runner on it.
Hey,
amazing.
Brilliant.
I surfed him on the blitz. It's going to be one of my best clips of Blood Bowl 3.
Oh, fantastic. Well, look, I'm glad they're working, and
see
I'm glad
that
they've
see
occasionally been relevant.
Is.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, well, I mean, most of the time it's going to be effectively nothing. But the time when it isn't nothing is what you've really got to consider. It's the opposite of the throw a rock argument, right? Throw a rock most of the time does sod all and nobody cares. But occasionally it kills your best player for no reason on turn zero. You know...
Because people always want to moan, I have to put out to you that the new version of
also
that,
true.
You can get sent off and there's no ability to argue it. Whereas at least if they kill your player, you can appo it. So
again,
isn't this worse?
Shite interpretation. You should be able to argue the call on that because it is the ref sending a player off. You should be able to argue the call or use a bribe if you want to.
And they shouldn't have made it that on a blitz, it's fine that you can only move D3 plus 3 people on a blitz. And you can only do a blitz and a foul. But your skills should be working, shouldn't they?
The fact that some skills do work and others don't work, and the only way to know which skills do and don't is to have a piece of paper in front of you saying the following cannot work during a blitz because somebody worded the rule like a moron.
So we agree they over-nerfed Blitz. I'm glad you agree with me.
Well, it's not necessarily an over-nerf because Blitz is so powerful. It's an over-complication. It's so hard to play it correctly. That's the problem. It's so hard to understand it. There's a difference between that and it being over-nerfed because bringing Blitz down a notch is fine.
I'd actually be fine if instead of D3 plus 3 it was just D6.
Honestly, I think that blitz should be that you may blitz with one player.
Select one player, make
a blitz. Actually.
Make it simpler. Let me use my skills. So at least it's easy to run. It's easy to remember. It's the complexity I dislike of that. Mr. Page, what are you enjoying? What's been fun?
The newness is the biggest thing. Like you said, I've never played Fumble. I don't play tabletop. The discovering the newness is the best part about gaming across the board, any game. I love exploring a new game, figuring out what works, what doesn't work. Like Space Cadet said, everyone doing this at the same time together in Blood Bowl 3 is great. So, like, all the people are like, oh, should I wait for the patches so there's less crashing and stuff? It's like, sure, but I mean, you might have more fun, but you're missing that strategy point where everyone's goofing around.
But you,
when
you,
a new Magic set comes out, if you played pre-release sealed deck Magic, you will have the best Magic experience that you can. If you go in 2 months after a set came out and played a sealed deck, it's all super tryhards and you're going to get crushed.
But I mean, you're pretty good at the Blood Bowl 2 meta. And I mean, you've got your dead, and you love your claws, and your viewers all love that. Wasn't it in your interest to stick and not twist?
No, because like I said, as a gamer, the discovery is the best. Like, I don't want to learn how to be a lumberjack and chop trees down great. I want to learn how to be a lumberjack, learn that you got to cut a slit in the back, learn that you then attack the front, down goes the tree, and never chop a tree down again. And now I'm going to go learn how to weld. But like, my brain just loves learning stuff and exploring and discovering. I actually don't really like the whole,
does everyone in
I'm
Canada
now
have
an expert,
to learn?
Let's just do the thing.
In Canada, do you have to learn how to be a lumberjack? Is that just like the American pledging the flag? Is that just something you all do?
By law, yeah.
I think I really like the YouTube videos learning about chopping a tree down. That might be the Canadian in me. But again, I didn't move on with that.
I've been on the ones about tapping for maple syrup, and that's a skill I would pick up if I was.
Well, that'd be another good one to learn, yeah. But like Tentacles is a good example. Everyone said Nurgle's awful now, Tentacles is nerfed, Beast of Nurgle is horrible, doesn't carry the team anymore. Tentacles is better now. It triggers, you roll your dodge before you break Tentacles. So you can kill your Gutter Runner trying to break away instead of just going and nothing happened. When you try to follow up and get away from the Beast of Nurgle, it triggers and she'll hold you there. Like, discovering how all this works is the fun part.
But, yeah, the joy discovery, I'm all in for that. But I've never been noiaphobic. I don't fear new things at all. I love them. Jump on in, see what happens. But some people really do. They, Dionysium, for example, terrified of a change in meta from something he absolutely felt he owned. To something he would have to explore. Tends to be the same sort of people float to the top. Yak, you've been trying to come in. Come on in.
Yeah, well, you raised a really nice point that, so I will change where I wasn't. I'm surprised that Dionysian doesn't love this new rule set because multiple rules is, with his love of poker multiple rules is everything about equity and value and so on. I wanted to talk about the tentacles. I'm very surprised about this new version of tentacles, because Blood Bowl was always supposed to be a game of risk that after you never control exactly. You never know what's going to happen. Incomplete information. There's always a reroll to be used unless your opponent's out of rerolls. But tentacles allows you to know the result, even the result of the reroll, before you decide whether to use tentacles or not. And the only example that in the Spanish community we came up with is Shadowing. But still Shadowing, it is the Shadowing player who is deciding to follow. In this here, it is although it is the tentacle player that is deciding to use tentacles or not, knowing whether if your opponent is going to have a turnover is massive. With Shadowwind, it's not about turnover, but with tentacles, it is.
I have to say, I think tentacles is worse, but it is a different dynamic, and it's a dynamic that is interesting, and it's interesting to explore. And you're right; it's changed where it happens and who's responsible for it, and that does make it quite interesting to explore what that means. But I want it less because it's less likely to be good. That's what I come down to ultimately. But it is in a different place, and you're right, that has changed some things. Look, that's been an hour and a half, guys, and that's as much as I ask people for. Some of you have children, some of you have weird Canadian time. It's probably morning, breakfast time or something weird there. Wolves to fight.
You allowed me to interrupt any time. What is it that you love the most about Blood Bowl 2020?
What is it I love the most about Blood Bowl 2020?
Yes, yeah, we have all answered.
Well, about Blood Bowl 2020, what I love the most is probably that it changed a very ossified meta for online play, for tabletop, in every way. And a meta that is still changing. We're still seeing things change, not only with new releases from Games Workshop, but with things being discovered. I've been on record since the start of the rule change that I think defensive is undervalued. And I think we're going to see an explosion in defensive use. And I think the Amazon team release is going to finally bring that about, because people are going to feel it and see it and use it on the tabletop and then find other ways to use it creatively. I think Fumble Rooski won't. I think some of the skills are shit. But I think defensive is one I've had my eye on as possibly being a skill we're not exploiting correctly yet. And I've noticed on Blood Bowl 3 we're already seeing that. I've seen some Black Orc teams giving defensive to their goblins to back up their Black Orcs. And I think that's a really interesting idea. It's a cost to get there. But once you get there, blimey, that can really wreck someone's attempts to deal with you. So that's what excited me, was just change. Change was needed. About Blood Bowl 3, I've got to be honest, guys, I'm still struggling to find the good side. I know I am playing it, I am enjoying playing it. But I can't disagree with the reviews. They sold us a game that wasn't ready, that was broken. Rick's right, it should have gone into early access. We should now be talking about how quickly it's moving through that early access, how quickly the bug fixes are coming in, how quickly the patches are arriving, how much it is getting tarted up after years of seemingly little activity. Things are starting to move at a pace, and that should be exciting to us. I think because we've been sold a full game, and you know, cosmetics are already in, the shop's already in, here's Season 1, here's the blood pass, you'll get this, you'll get that. We expected somehow, despite all the beta evidence, we expected to hit the ground running. And it really hasn't. I don't think the reviews are unfair. I don't think people being unhappy was unfair. I don't think the concern about the cosmetics was unfair when that 20 extra pounds got you two dressed figures on two of your teams. That said to me, if I want 20 dressed figures, that's going to cost me hundreds. So I get why people were concerned. I think some of that was just terrible communication, and I hope that's being sorted out right now. One of the reasons I wanted to do this episode, I mean, people have said it's just, you know, the last one of these that we did, it was only a week ago, and normally I leave it 2 weeks. But for a start, it completely blew up on the YouTube, so thank you very much for that. All those people that left comments, particularly the person that deeply hated Jimmy Fantastic, because you started the whole everybody comments ball rolling, and after that it just became an absolute landslide. So thank you for hating on Jimmy quite that much. And you're wrong, he's a fantastic person whose views are interesting, and he'll always be welcome on this show. I did want to lean in and say, okay, that's content people are interested in. Let's do some more about that. But there was one comment on there that really... I stand by everything we said in that episode. I think it was some wise people thinking deeply and trying to say what they felt and what they thought of Blood Bowl 3. But one of the comments on the YouTube said, thank you very much. I will now avoid buying this game. And it was just that. And I thought, that's... In my heart, I kind of think if I've saved someone that couldn't afford to lose that money on a game that isn't ready yet, then that's a good thing. But it has also harmed the development of something I want to work, because there isn't going to be another option. I mean, Fumble plays fantasy football. It's not a video game. It's going to be there forever, but it's not the same. These are different products. I've always said I think that a healthy both of them is good for Blood Bowl. I don't see them as competing. And I did think there are people out there having fun. It is beholden to me, if I'm putting out so many negative views, to find some of those people having fun and to ask them, you know, how they can justify in the face of all of this negativity why they're being so positive. I have asked them that tonight. I hope in chat you feel we've at least given them a chance to say what they want to say. I find I still don't agree. I still look at Blood Bowl 3 and think you've dropped the ball here. There's a part of me, I try and be a positive person, that is trying to stick with it and trying to hope that in 6 months to 9 months' time we've got the game that I think this could be. I've said it before, I think the chassis underneath, not all the whizzy buttons, I don't care about those options menu yak, I'm sorry about that. If I was slightly more in control of the game, if it was a bit less muddy, I think that's the right word, Mr. P, I think I could be really enjoying this. And I think that fundamental underlying, the basis that's playing the Blood Bowl is pretty much okay. And on top of that, if they can build a good system for us all to use, give us the tools that helps us support their game, then it can be the platform for the next 4 or 5 years and help us all move forwards. But also, yeah, let's have fun. Let's encourage new players. Let's talk up the upside. Let's explore the new rules. Let's have fun doing it. But let's not stop asking them to, you know, make this game better, because we've given them money and this is Blood Bowl for all of us. And right now, when a new player comes on and I ruthlessly smush them, I can't say, you know, drop in the Discord and I'll help you out. Or, I mean, people have been naming their players, come on my Discord and I will help you. How desperate, how wonderful is it that people are being that creative? But how desperate is it that that's, you know, that's how we're having to go to try and stop people leaving this game? Because if not enough people buy it, we don't end up with a Blood Bowl, and that's not good for any of us. That's, you can probably tell, because I went into that Jerry Springer voice, that is my big closing moment. I am wrapping up. That's 90 minutes of all of our lives. I don't think Blood Bowl 3 is good enough, and I don't think we should accept this from the games industry. I do think that's standard, but I don't think it's okay. We can still have fun with it, but we should be asking for more, and we shouldn't forget that it launched in the state it did. Let's hope they can prove me wrong. And I've brought on four lovely people that think I am wrong. I don't find myself agreeing. That was One World, One Blood Bowl 26. We have put the opposite view out. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself. We will be raiding you on. I think Mr. Page is going to stream again with his big, long subathon. So we will be raiding you on in there. So it's the end of the podcast, but not the end of the stream. Stay with us for a couple of minutes as I wrap up and say thank you from everybody. Let's all wave, because that's all nice. Bye.
Bye.
Gives me a nice